Now, being liked is one thing, but when a future prime minister is asked the government he now most admires and answered that of communist China because it could turn things around on a dime and order up green policies with a snap of their dictatorial fingers, we're staggered. That wasn't just dumb, admiring a murderous dictatorship. The record of Mao Zedong is a Hitler-scale blot on humanity. It was almost weird. It was certainly immensely careless. And no, it wasn't a joke. The trouble for Mr. Trudeau is that these kinds of appearances, more fluff than fodder, playing off his glamour, place him very much in the unserious world of entertainment celebrity and give nutrition to the thought that he is a lucky lightweight, not a serious leader of a modern democracy. Where is Mr. Trudeau on stage, as his father was wont to do, delivering full thought-out essays on Canadian life, aspects of how we live and govern ourselves, our place in this new age or the shifting nature of Canada's economic and social landscape? A flutter on pot policy doesn't cut it, and web stunts or Movember mustaches playing off the Johnny Depp persona, well, they look cute on Twitter, but they don't do for a real leader. All this, too, as Thomas Mulcair takes over question period and looks like a man ready for a step up. It's a moment of choice. The lightness of being Justin may just be unbearable. For The National, I'm Rex Murphy.
Well, 106 twos. There you go. The man, the myth, the legend, Rex Murphy. I thought that was probably the best way to start this out without one of us two jabbering on. You might as well give the monologue to one of the best Canada's ever seen in Rex Murphy. So welcome to 106, even under sad times.
Yeah, Rex, it's a heartbreaker, man. Absolutely. I mean, nobody lives forever, but still at the same time, it's like it's a damn shame. He was definitely right, though, in that whole how Trudeau emulated China and their ability to turn around their economy on a dime. Trudeau did manage to do that for Canada.
Before we get into all things Rex Murphy, we have a guest going to come on, hop in here momentarily. We're going to talk a couple things happening in Alberta. We got lots to come on Rex Murphy and a few things, Canada-wide on people's thoughts that way. I want to make sure we it's Jamie Sinclair's retirement party this weekend. So happy Airborne Friday to the military folk and to Jamie Sinclair. Great career to a man who's been on the podcast, no stranger to either one of us. Coots, too.
Congratulations, Jamie.
818 days, twos. It just continues on. I had Nikki Tom on earlier this week talking about that again. So if you haven't gone and listened to that, you should. And with all that being said, why don't we bring Mike Holmes in and we'll talk an injection of truth, town hall, June 17th. So, first off, welcome to the show, Mike. Thanks for hopping on with us.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot. It's an honor to be here.
Now, injection- to be clear, this is a different, this is a different Mike Holmes.
Correct. This, you're not Holmes on Holmes.
No, I mean, isn't that guy up for like some fraudulent building practices or something like that?
Yeah. We talked about that. We talked about that on the mashup, I don't know, about 6 months ago. And then I get a text last night from Sean and I start reading it. And he says, yeah, Mike Holmes is going to be on. And I'm like, that's not going to go well.
Now, Mike, you're hopping on today. You got an injection of truth town hall, June 17th in Calgary. What can you tell the audience about it? Just what is the event?
An injection of truth.ca is the site. It is an event that we are putting on several constituency associations and among just concerned Alberta citizens about having the conversation about the elephant in the room, a rational appeal, if you will, to try to bring the most current information about the downstream consequences received from the jabs. And we want to talk about it. So we're holding a live event and as well as several streaming options to have the the elephant in the room talked about.
Who's coming to speak at it? Who's in your lineup of doctors or politicians or whoever that people, you know, are probably going to be like, oh, really? Didn't know that.
It's a pretty formidable lineup, all things considering. Details are still being worked out, but we have Byron Brattle, David Speaker, Wiseman, Jessica Rose potentially, and Mark Trozzi, Dr. Chris Shoemaker, Eric Payne, William Mackis. I know that I'm missing somebody, but yeah, all that considering, mm-hmm. This is some serious firepower. And then we also have MLAs representing as well, the Lahey Constituency Association. I'm pretty sure that we also got Fish Creek. We're getting lots of endorsement from political factions. So that's actually really good. It's a lot more than we anticipated, say, a year ago this time.
That is good. Now, when you say political factions and you talked about the EDAs, is this limited to one party?
No. No, the invite's going out to anyone who's willing to come and have a conversation about it. I mean, this affects all of us, so it's really not about.
Well, it doesn't affect me. But
everybody knows somebody.
Yeah.
Now tickets. One of the things I thought when I first went on the website and saw how much tickets are for $29, you can be in person. Geez, that seems awfully reasonable. I think, right? Like, and then the next thing I guess is like, you know, what is the events trying to accomplish, Mike? I get the general idea, but you know, one of the things that I admire about what you're tackling is you got a whole bunch of MLAs, current MLAs coming, to be in attendance. But what are you hoping? Like, what's the group hoping to push on with these MLAs, the current government here in Alberta? Like, if you could, you know, summarize it however long you want to take, but you know, like, what's the general idea and what's, you know, like, let's get this done.
Yeah. So, I mean, our mission statement ultimately is awareness and accountability. I mean, if you want to be able to just lay it down for what it is, it's about people, grassroots, putting pressure on our legislative assembly, right? So that's ultimately what this goal's the event is all about. Like, we're trying to target legislation, our legislators, and we're trying to get as much awareness to our constituency associations throughout the province. Like, I guess ultimately, you know, besides having a packed event, and we're 50% sold already. So, I mean, we're well on our way to filling.
Jesus Christ.
The venue.
You're basically physically wasting your time even coming on here.
Well, I mean, as much as that might be the case, I don't believe so, because that we also have lots of streaming. And that's another thing. This is about awareness, because this isn't just an Alberta-centric thing. There's something happening in Alberta. You know, it's no stranger to most people that Alberta and some aspects of even Saskatchewan, they're trying to stand on their own two feet, you know, against federal opposition and so forth. And it's just so the event is to try to get that awareness out there, have a conversation rationally, get some more support in the legislation to try to shift that Overton window, push the ball forward for accountability, and ultimately get the jab stopped for 17 and under. I mean, obviously we'd like to move forward about the whole mRNA platform, but we feel like we got to at least start somewhere, you know, think of it like a tactical pincer move or something, right? We just want to be able to take some ground and save some kids.
Now, one thing we haven't mentioned yet, where is this event and what day is this event?
So it's June 17th. The event gets disclosed when you purchase a ticket. I'm not going public with it as of yet for the actual venue that gets to those, sent to those who purchase tickets and gets streaming access, because we also know that we're running sort of like, we know that there's going to be a counter movement. So, mm-hmm. And there's, as I don't know if you guys have talked about this on your show previously, but there's been certain groups that have tried to have conversations or town halls, and then there's all sorts of opposition. You get venues canceled. I mean, I think James Lindsay had to get shuffled like three times when he came here, and you know, this isn't as big as a Tucker Carlson. So, you know, yeah. So,
okay. Forgive what city me is
if
it
I don't
in,
throw
though?
That out there, but it's in Calgary. It's in the city of Calgary. Yeah.
Yeah, it's strange to me when things get shut down. Good old Lloydminster haven't shut me down yet. So a shout out to the people of Lloydminster, because Calgary's a strange land where they're like, you can't do this here. That seems quite odd to me. Where can people buy tickets, Mike? I've got it on the link, but is that the only spot? Is there just go to the website?
Yeah. Just go to the website, injectionoftruth.ca. Yeah. Well, there's tons of information there and mission statements. And you bet that's where to go.
And am I, I guess when my eyes take a look at this, I see the opportunity to get your MLA there. So all of us could be pushing on our MLAs to go, because they're invited. All of them are invited to attend this conversation, to hear the information, and that this might be a real opportunity of what you're putting together to push on the government to do something that I think a healthy majority of us want or don't even realize anymore that's happening. Right. And that is, the jab in the youth.
Yeah. For anyone who's watching that, whether you're in Saskatchewan or Alberta or where have you, if you have any contact with your local legislators or you're on your board, try to encourage them to get a streaming access and have a watch party, like get your board involved and see if you can get a community hall filled up or something, just let's have this conversation. Let's do this town hall. Let's get people's awareness up. And by all means, knowledge can be very, very edifying. And that, what better thing is there than that to do that for your MLA? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you guys going to be checking QR codes at the door or anything?
I'm still downstream of some of those details for those logistics.
You're not going to be checking vaccination status?
No.
Okay. All right. I didn't want to assume.
Anything else, Mike, before we move?
This is why you're twos.
That's right. What? Anything else, Mike, before we move on to our first headline? We want you to stick around to talk a little bit about Rex Murphy, but anything else that you think the viewers should know about an Injection of Truth Town Hall, June 17th, in regards to the event, the after event, tickets, where to purchase, anything like that? I think we've covered most of it, but if there's anything else you want to say here before we move on, you got a couple minutes.
Yeah, no, it's just an implorement. It's an implorement. I want to emphatically encourage this process, and I would like to see as many citizens, Team Humanity involved. And it's a great cause. There's even ways to donate. And if you can't participate, but get a stream, get some people, watch it, donate for the cause. It's still lots of things are in motion. So obviously there's some things that could change on the fly. So stay up to date with the site. Cause like I said, we're still working on certain logistics, but it's all coming together. I mean, the momentum politically it's a breath of fresh air, to be completely honest.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, appreciate you bringing us up to date. Twos, shall we slide into our first headline? It's going back to the intro. Unless
did we lose Sean?
Rex Murphy, are we good?
Oh,
yeah, you glitched.
Oh, and I'm the one freezing.
Did I glitch or did
you I'm glitch? I'm the one that's no, I'm glitching. Okay, Rex Murphy. Okay, here we go, folks. Rex Murphy. Obviously he passed away, and I just brought up a couple things. Dr. Jordan B. Peterson, a terrible loss for Canada. One of our best is gone. And then underneath that was Alberta Premier Daniel Smith. Alberta's government and her people send our condolences and love to the family, friends, and colleagues of Rex Murphy. here's another one. Howard Anglin said, Rex once told me that despite hosting one of the flagship radio shows for 21 years, the head of CBC radio never spoke to him. And when he retired, his farewell gift was a $20 Starbucks gift card. He seemed baffled and amused, but mostly happy to have a great anecdote. And then finally, here's one more. That Rex Murphy got away with saying all of this and I could show it, but he was trying to implore Elon Musk to share it far and wide. Because once upon a time, Rex Murphy spoke for all of us on different things. Twos or Mike, any thoughts on Rex Murphy here? I know we started off with it, but to bring it back up again.
Before we get just real quick, Zane Southgate wants to know, Mike, might the video streams be available post W event?
Yeah, at some point, I know that it will get released because it's information that the public should have. So yeah, downstream for sure, it will make its way out. Which is, of course, we're going to encourage you to either attend the event or be willing to pay for the stream so that you can participate live. But yes,
okay, at some point. Thank you. All right, cool. Now back to Rex, Mike.
The thing that comes to my mind when I consider Rex Murphy is sort of that old adage that, you know, given being of a younger vintage than Rex, you just sit down, shut up, and listen, because this was an individual that had just a prolific understanding of a great many of things in the world, and sometimes silence is best when you're in the company of a great mind.
Yeah, I never got to meet him in person, and I'm pretty disappointed about that. But yeah, anytime you read any of his articles or listen to him speak, you're always blown away. I mean, the guy went to Oxford, right? It's funny, you know, as much as people like Sean like to give Newfies a hard time, there's like pretty much the smartest guy in the whole damn country came from Newfoundland, as far as I'm concerned. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, he's on my list, fellas, of people I never got to interview, of like, man, I would have loved to have interviewed him. And he was suggested an awful lot. He was on my list of, you know, top, let's go get him this year. And, you know, emailed the people surrounding him, and I hope, you know, some of my emails landed in his mailbox. I know towards the end when Tucker came, they were trying to get me an interview with him, and he just said he wasn't feeling up to, you know, coming out this way to be on stage with Tucker, or up to, you know, doing any of the media avails. And that, you know, it's one of those ones where he goes on a list of, I wish I would have had the opportunity to have sat with him, because what a wonderful mind Canada had for, you know, pretty much all of his life, right? We were witnesses. Yep. You can go back and just listen to his monologues and his thoughts, and they're so well constructed. He's brilliant. I got to see him, you know, last time I got to see him live was Jordan Peterson when he came through about a year ago. Rex opened that, and you know, it was on full display, his mind and how creative he was. So you know, condolences to the Murphys. Like, Rex was a pure beauty, and I don't know how much more I can say on it, because you know, I just wish I had the opportunity, like Tu said, to have met him and maybe interacted with him a little bit.
Well, one thing I will say, you know, when you talk about his well-constructed ideas and his arguments and things like that, there's a lot of people that didn't like what he had to say, but there was very little repudiation. Nobody really said, well, you know what? He's wrong, and here's why. They were just like, oh, he's a jerk. He's mean. I don't like him. And that's basically when you know that you're right over the target. Is when the worst thing people can say about what you have to say is that they don't like you personally. Oh, one other thing. Do not turn this into a grift for your fucking book. Okay?
Who is that, too, is for the people listening?
BJ Dichter, who's one of the guys at the convoy. And I don't know, there's a whole lot of infighting that I don't really know the ins and outs of. But he wrote a book. And so... Here's a tweet, National Post, Rex Murphy, the sharp-witted intellectual who loved Canada, dies at 77. And then here's BJ Dichter. Yeah, I met him once. An unrelated note, here's a link to buy my fucking book. So, yeah, I think the word that really applies here is gauche.
That's as subtle as a heart attack.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a douche move. It's a douche move. All right, Mike, thanks for hopping on and doing this and being a part of the mashup. We always appreciate when people come on and give us valuable information, and we'll be paying attention June 17th. Of course, I guess I'll play some part in that, as I'll be on stage for part of the night, hopefully facilitating the evening. Hopefully Tuz finds his way there and heckles from the audience.
I got to find somebody connected to that, see if I can get a VIP ticket. If you guys know of anyone, let me know. All right.
Either way,
we can do.
We'll try and keep the riffraff out, eh, Tuz? Mike,
yeah,
thanks again.
I'll be one of the ones who gets a fake location.
That's actually of all people, we will definitely have security holding pictures to be like, if you see this man,
And on it is a picture of a rooster slurper. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Mike, for hopping on. And I guess I could let you say goodbye. Thanks, Mike, for hopping on.
Oh, hey, thank you for having me and letting me talk about this event. So pro free speech too, right? Yeah, thanks.
Looking forward to it.
Okay, cool. And I keep clicking them on my, I got fat fingers today, folks. Thanks, Mike, for hopping on. We are going to get on with the rest of the show, as they say. Okay, the Green Bucks stop here. This is Calgary, phase one of the Green Line LRT. That's 18-kilometer stretch from Sheppard in the city southeast to Eau Claire downtown. The UCP government of Premier Daniel Smith sends this letter this past Wednesday to Calgary Mayor Gondek. And it said, any cost increases or escalations will be the responsibility of the city, and no additional funding will be available for this project under any circumstances. Twos?
I think it's finally great that you've got somebody who's saying enough fucking money is enough when it comes to cost overruns on government projects. This thing, I remember thinking when it first got announced, and it was that $1.5 billion, and I was still living in Calgary, and the C-Train, which is the train transit in Calgary, roughly forms an X. And then this is kind of a diagonal off the X. And so you think, okay, statistically, it's roughly like 1/8 of the city. And then I figured out that for what the city was spending at the time, they could just buy every house on that line a brand new Tesla if they're worried about the environment and just be done with it. Just here's a new Tesla, fuck off. And then after that, you had Stephen Harper pitch in a matching amount, you know, in the lead up to the election. And then you had Rachel Notley pitch in a matching amount. So the budget for this has tripled, which is actually pretty good as far as government project standards go. Like a budget that's only tripled is fairly reasonable as far as
they're not doing their work.
Right? Like what have they forgotten to include at this point, you wonder? But Danielle Smith just saying, look, enough is enough. We gave you $1.5 billion. Try and just not waste it all at once. But this is classic City of Calgary. I drove by I drove by a City of Calgary vehicle the other day. They've got a whole bunch of the brand new EV Mustangs.
The City of Calgary does?
The City of Calgary. And here's the funny thing was that this one was debadged. So they took all the Mustang off of it, and it's just a generic City of Calgary vehicle. But you're like, that's the EV Mustang. And then to avoid backlash for giving City of Calgary employees an electric fucking Mustang to drive around in, they're like, well, what if we just take the stickers off of it? This is the accountability in the City of Calgary right now, is what if we just hid the fact that these are fucking ridiculous sports cars and that's the people who need to keep their spending in check. So, yeah. Beware of green people.
Absolutely, Donald Schwartz. We need a new architect. This is the Canadian military. The first picture I'm putting up, it says, introducing a new icon and refreshed tagline from the Canadian Army, featuring the new CAD-PAT MT, multi-terrain pattern. So there you have it.
So this is their new logo on the right. Click on that logo on the right so it gets a little bit bigger for a sec. This is what could probably be best described as the Atari 2600 version of somebody with an absolute dump truck of an ass shoving a tampon up a retarded reindeer. And you're looking at it and you're like, okay, I absolutely see it. You could totally, like, Sir Mix-a-Lot helped design this thing, it looks like. Like, it's like every mom in a Pixar movie. This is what they're doing now in the Army. And then the other one was them practicing a bunch of breaching, which is great. That's totally reassuring. And if you go to that first picture, look at how he's holding that shotgun. Now, I appreciate the fact that they've got the Wingmasters. I own two of them. It's a great shotgun, but I really hope that guy isn't a sniper. Let me just say that. The butt goes in your shoulder, okay? This is standing on guard.
Blackface face palm. Wait, I'm going to pull up the picture here so you can see the kids. Right, we'll even zoom in on it a little bit for you. Okay, it goes like this. Two teens kicked out of their elite California Catholic school while falsely accused of wearing blackface have been jointly awarded more than $1 million after proving it was just a green acne face mask. The then students at St. Francis High School in Mountain View were just 14 when they took a photo during a sleepover in 2017 of them wearing the treatment in solidarity with friends suffering from severe acne. The treatment bought by one of the boys' moms was a light green when applied and turned dark green once dry. Their innocent selfie then went viral 3 years later when it was found and wildly shared during the height of the Black Lives Matter protests following the 2020 murder of George Floyd. So there you go. That's the three boys wearing acne face masks, and they were booted for it.
And they got expelled for blackface. If only people in Canada got expelled for blackface. Wouldn't our country be a better place?
Correct, you are. New veggie burger that's totally going to turn things around in the midst of cratering sales and free-falling stock price of the week. Plant-based meats maker Beyond Meat urged investors to look past its mixed first quarter results Wednesday, saying a new, healthier burger hitting U.S. shelves now will help reignite weak sales. Its now, revenue fell 18%. Its revenue fell 18% to $75.6 million in the January to March period, and it was the company's eighth straight quarter year-over-year revenue declines.
18.6% is a quarterly decline.
Correct.
By the way. That's not annual. That's quarterly.
Quarterly. And it's done declines eight straight quarters.
So, yeah, this is like where you're getting into half of half. And the limit as X goes towards infinity is zero. And how many times have we done an article about some Beyond Meat veggie burger bullshit that's totally going to turn around slumping sales with this new, better burger that has everything people want in it except for a fucking cow?
Once a week, it seems, right now. And this is news to my ears. Or music to my ears. I just look at it. I'm like, good. See you later. Greta's new cause of the week. Climate activist Greta Thunberg joined thousands of pro-Palestinian demonstrators in Eurovision 2024 host city Malmo on Thursday to protest Israel's participation in the song contest ahead of this year's second semi-final.
Yeah, so I guess nobody really cares about climate change anymore, but she needs to still be relevant. And so what's she going to do? Hop on the latest thing. And it's interesting that, you know, if you know one thing about her, it turns out that you know basically everything about her, which means that she's not a serious person. I call it bullshit. Bullshit. I like that. Bullshit. Rocky TB says, I call it bullshit. Yeah. Okay. I assume it's talking about the veggie burgers. That's good. I like that.
Maddow about you. Anyways, I get what you're doing there. Sabrina Maddow. This is her tweet. I'm suspending my campaign to become the next federal conservative candidate of an MP for Aurora Oak Ridges, Richmond Hill. Sadly, I no longer have faith in the election's integrity. She went on to say, despite raising concerns to the Conservative Party nearly 2 weeks ago, despite submitting clear evidence of a corrupted process and potential illegal actions taken by another campaign, nothing has been done. There's been no evidence that a promised internal investigation is actually underway and no next steps shared.
This is interesting. I was having a conversation with Mrs. Tews about this last night, and she says, well, do you think this is all just smoke? Do you think this is her just, you know, trying to throw a Hail Mary at the campaign? And I honestly don't think so, because I know of plenty of examples where things like this have happened, not just like where Han Dong had a bunch of Chinese people come in, but the Conservative Party, even getting involved with provincial politics and stuff like that. Like I was able to list off a half dozen similar or nearly identical examples of skullduggery like this off the top of my head. They're not really my stories to tell, But the point is that I know some of them. I know, actually, you and I were in the same room with a guy who told us something vaguely similar one time. And this stuff happens more than you'd think. This is not the way democracy is supposed to work, but it is the way it does in Canada.
Yeah, it's more of a common story than people give credit, or maybe people pay attention to, not even give credit. When it comes to the world of politics, you see stories like this unfold over and over again, and they normally don't grab a whole lot of attention. You know, if you don't follow Twitter, you know, you have no idea this is happening. And if you don't follow politics, you really have no idea this is happening.
Yeah.
And it's not, I don't think it's just in Ontario or that riding. This is more widespread than we give credit.
No, I know examples in Alberta. I know examples in Saskatchewan. Yeah. So anyway, that's what's going on there.
Normal politics. Okay, this is Dwayne Bratt, the Mount Royal University professor. I'm going to pull it up here. This is on Bill 20 in Alberta. And basically...
Go ahead.
Well, it's just... I can read the tweets. He's gets into what Tews has brought up. Says he tweeted, Smith used Calgary's single-use bylaw to justify the extraordinary powers in Bill 20. Now that Calgary City Council has repealed it due to normal politics, public outrage leading to revolt in brackets, does provincial cabinet still need nullification powers for local bylaws?
Okay, so three things. One, this Bill 20 is shit. Two, just because they were looking down the barrel of a gun and decided to change their minds doesn't mean that that gun shouldn't exist in some form, like recall legislation. And three, here's the thing that I really wanted to point out. Now that Calgary City Council has repealed it due to normal politics, which he describes as public outrage leading to a revolt, that's the way he thinks normal politics should work, is that it gets so bad that there's a public revolt and then they do a course correction. That's his idea. This guy who's a political scientist professor at Mount Royal College in Calgary thinks that the normal way things ought to work in a democracy is that the people who are elected do whatever the fuck they want until things get to the point where there's open revolt and then they walk back two steps. What the fuck is wrong with this guy?
Well, I'm trying to get Shane Getson talked about Bill 20 in the House, and I'm trying to get him to come on the podcast to talk about Bill 20. Cause I'm like, I'm against it, but then I listen to him talk about it and I'm like, I should probably just have Shane on to come explain it more to me. And maybe I'm missing things because parts of what he says seem very reasonable, if I may say,
yep.
You know, like nothing too crazy.
Be careful though. Shane's tricky when it comes to this kind of stuff because he's very convincing. Like you could sit down with him and he could talk to you about the benefits of chopping your arm off for like half an hour and you'd leave and be like, do I really need both of them? he's very persuasive.
I'm sure he is. That's why I wanted.
And so that's what. So you know, like on the one hand, yeah, I definitely love to hear some finer points of what the hell the UCP was thinking when they said they were going to roll this out. But on the other hand, you just got to be really careful because you might leave and be like, "Let's just kick everybody out of politics." Right? It's the double-edged sword of Shane Getson.
We should not talk
in the. Nicest way possible.
We should not talk to anyone. That's what we should do. Not talk to anyone, especially guys named Shane Getson, because they're too convincing on bills. Okay, I got it. Twos. What's the next one?
All right. Donald Schwartz, Luciferian, mixed mash, New World Order, AI going full force now. I'm not quite sure what's going on in the comments, but it looks like it's fun.
So get involved in the comments.
Because it appears to be going off the rails.
CBC bags for more handouts of the week. Okay, there's multiple things going on here, okay? First, the Canadian Taxpayers Federation filed a complaint.
No, read that last.
Read that last. You want the now CBC CEO, Catherine Tate, tells MPs at the Commons Heritage Committee to stop focusing on her bonuses and ask the federal government for sustainable long-term funding of the media. Her solution, sustainable long-term funding for saving media.
Yeah.
And don't worry about how much I'm paying for bonuses.
The millions of dollars of bonuses I give to me and the top 20 people in this organization every year. Just give us more fucking money. Okay? We need more money. Okay, but you all get giant bonuses. What if you took it out of that? No. Don't worry about that. That's super important. They're performance-based, but not based on actual performance. What we need is not more of our money. We need more of your money. And here's Chris Sims.
Well, Chris Sims chimed in saying, congratulations to CBC CEO Catherine Tate for winning the Teddy Waste Award this year, the champ in the federal category. Tate is paid between $400,000 and $600,000 per year, and she handed out millions in bonuses, and a tiny percentage of Canadians watch the CBC. She then said, bravo. You got
That's crazy. So the Canadian Taxpayer Federation had Teddy's. Buzz me real quick.
The annual Teddy Waste Awards. Okay. This is the annual one. I'm going to read it. Then I'm going to say my bit, then I'm going to let twos in, okay? The Canadian Taxpayer Federation presented its 26th annual Teddy Waste Awards.
You're going to let twos in?
Yes. President Catherine Tate for handing out millions in bonuses with announcing hundreds of layoffs, the Mission Cultural Fund for its sex-themed artist performances, and the City of Regina for its Experience Regina rebrand fiasco. Now, this is the one I picked out, quoted, the City of Regina came up with a snappy slogan like, show us your Regina and Regina. The city that rhymes with fun. After spending $30,000 facing backlash, the city ditched the entire rebrand, so it won Teddy Waste Award. That's just coming from the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. The only qualm I got, and Chris Sims, I know you're watching and listening, is where was the invite? We talked to you on this show, I don't know how many times. I don't know how many times I have to ask, and they went by, and I got nothing. Twos?
Exact same thing. Chris, I thought we were friends. Franco, you've been on this show too. I mean, we have you guys on our show, and then you guys don't have us on your show. This is like when you had an embarrassing roommate that had an unattractive girlfriend, and he tried to just like sneak her into the house and get her into the room right away before anybody saw who she was. This is how I feel right now. We're just the mopeds at this point. And what in the hell? I thought we were tight. I just saw you just a couple weeks ago.
I want to be very clear. Teddy Waste Awards, love it. We want to be a part of it. And then it comes and goes. And you're like, what? I just want to be a part of it, Chris. And I know you know, and I know she's driving and Chris in her lovely ways. I didn't have a choice. Whatever it is, Chris. Expect a phone call, and I want to be a part of the Teddy Waste. Otherwise, we're going to stop talking about them all together. Done.
Well, no, basically, let's not make promises we're not going to keep, because I think every single one of those awards was something we talked about in the mashup at some point in the past year. So, we're still going to keep talking about
We're going to talk about that, but we're not going to talk about the Teddy Waste. If we can't be a part of the Teddy Waste, come on.
Well, I don't know about the ultimatum. I'm wondering...
It's an ultimatum.
If Chris likes petitions so much, maybe we should start our own petition.
Yeah, maybe we should get people to fire back at the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, start writing our unelected officials of the Canadian Taxpayers Federation and blow up your guys' email inbox to get us a part of the freaking Teddies. Unbelievable. Move me on, twos. I can rant about this the entire time because I saw the Teddies went on.
Let's do it.
Move on. I have nothing but time for Franco and Chris. It breaks my heart to rant about it.
Chris, you know that I dress up nice, and believe it or not, Sean can dress up nice on occasion too. We can do this.
I just want to hand out one of the awards. Black Mark on Toronto's Finest of the Week. The first black female to serve as superintendent with the Toronto Police Service has pleaded guilty to 7 counts of professional misconduct for her role in providing 6 black constables with answers to cheat their promotions exam. Clark pleaded guilty to all 7 counts last fall after she was caught providing pictures with the answers to questions for officers in the promotional process, which included 3 counts of breach of confidence, 3 counts of discreditable conduct, and 1 count of insubordination.
Yeah. So first off, how racist is it to assume that just because they're all black, they're not going to get the answers right anyway? This is the soft bigotry of low expectations. Secondly, this is completely ridiculous. This is the organization who's entrusted with the safety of the largest city in Canada. And you're going to have people cheat their way through to positions of authority within it? That's fucking despicable. Straight up. I don't care what justification you want to use. That is not good. And so, anyway, yeah, they're just looking to demote her.
Costly EV bus fiasco of the week. BC Transit says it has ordered 66 electric buses from two Canadian-based suppliers after a previous supplier from California filed for bankruptcy. I don't know.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not like there's no red flags. Actually, yes. Keep talking a little bit about it.
On Monday, BC Transit said it had requested the buses from two pre-qualified suppliers, Nova Bus, a Quebec-based bus manufacturer, and New Flyer, a Winnipeg-based manufacturer. Funding totaling $395 million for buses and infrastructure was announced back in July of 2023. The Crown Corporation, which owns a fleet of 1,100 buses of varying types, is aiming to have a fully electric fleet by 2040.
Yes, the... Their previous $20 million contract fell through after it went. So they had a $20 million contract that fell through after the place filed for bankruptcy, which presumably means that they never got that money back because they're going to be the last list of debtors. And it always goes kind of in order of appearance. Hmm. So that they wasted $20 million on a company that doesn't even fucking exist anymore. And then they said that, where was it? Basically, they said they're not going to publicly disclose how much they paid for these buses because they want to remain competitive in future bids. Here's the thing, is that that's bullshit because this technology is improving so rapidly and things are moving along so quickly,
you know,
and things are getting so much better and so much cheaper. And also, inflation is driving everything through the fucking roof. So no matter what you paid for them today, it's going to be completely irrelevant in 6 months. There's exactly one reason why you're not telling everybody how much money you fucking spent. And it's because it's a lot.
I had one thought while I read this. They should make one phone call. They should call this guy called Chase Barber. And he could probably do them a couple of things that would make a ton of sense and would probably work.
And they could probably be a lot cheaper.
And it'd probably be a lot cheaper. But yep. We all know this about government. They don't do things that make sense. They don't enlist smart people that can do it for an efficient way and make things just smooth and actually work. They want it, you know?
And they're not looking
at the idea out.
How many other times has something like this happened in how many other places in Canada?
I think the Bible says don't cast pearls before swine twos. And I don't even know why I bring up Chase Barber to politicians, because it's like, you know, they don't care. They've already made their choice on what they're going to do. And, you know,
they're not looking for a solution.
Right.
They're right. Like, oh, well, here's a solution, but it's not the one we're looking for.
You mean okay, Chase Barber, that outspoken guy who's being threatened by MNP? That guy? Yeah, go talk to him. You might find some solutions there that actually work for BC. And wait, he's in BC. Wait,
a local guy?
Right.
Crazy.
Sometimes the trash takes itself out. Okay, Kamal Preet Singh, 22, and Karen Brar, 22, came to Canada as students from the Indian state of Punjab, their hometown separated by roughly 100 kilometers. Both men received their visas in 2019 and were, according to the Times of India, from well-off families with agricultural backgrounds. On Tuesday, the suspects wore orange jumpsuits and briefly responded to questions from a BC judge in separate appearances at Surrey Provincial Court. All three men who, you know, were there were arrested in Edmonton on Friday, faced charges of first-degree murder and conspiracy to commit murder in last June's killing of Sikh separatist Najjar, whose murder sent Canada's relations with India into disarray.
Now, first off, a little background on this. This terrorist who got killed in Canada came here on a fake passport that got discovered, and then they let him in anyway, despite the fact that he was a terrorist who came in here with a fake passport, which they found out about. Okay. So I feel like tightening things at the border, even just a tiny bit, might solve help. This. Okay. Maybe. And then you've got two guys who came here on work visas to basically become gangsters, and they shot this dude. So, I mean, on the one hand, your incredibly lax immigration policies bring in some bad guy, but then your incredibly lax immigration policies bring in some other guys who solve the problem of the first guy. So I guess we just need to bring in a couple more, and then they'll solve it, and then a couple more will solve the next.
You know what reminds me of? You remember the Simpsons episode where they had, I can't remember, was it, they had too many, a certain type of bird, so then they brought in all the snakes to get rid of the bird, and then they had to bring in the next plague to get rid of the next one? Anyways, complete.
Yeah, that's our immigration policy. It's like Ricky Bobby with the steak knives. You people are awesome. Thanks, Jack. You people.
Unions are ran by children of the week. Canada's public sector, who promises a summer of discontent and will take to the streets if they have to work more than 2 days a week. you can't write this. Oh, man. And then the other one is, of course, we're talking about the union.
Okay, well, this is the union that's all upset. We talked about this last week. How they're mad that they might have to go to work 3 days a week. And then they're saying that, you know, it's completely irresponsible.
They have to go to work, right? It's not that they work 3 days a week. It's that they have to go in and work 3 days a week to an actual office. Okay. And which now they're saying they're going to raise hell. Yeah. They're going to raise hell if it's that. Okay. No, we don't want that. We only want two. We want to work from home the entire time. Mm-hmm.
The problem with unions is you've got this situation now where government employees get paid disproportionately high amounts, especially when you consider the little that actually gets accomplished. And they've got ridiculous benefits. There would be, if you just said, okay, look, if you guys don't want to work here, that's fine. I understand. We're going to let you go, and we're going to see if anybody else wants the job. You would have lineups around the block like it was the fucking passport office for that. People would be like, oh, this ridiculous job with this ridiculous pay where I need to get absolutely nothing done and I've got a gold-plated pension for the rest of my life? Yeah. Yeah. I could totally live with that job and coming into work physically for 3 days a week. I think I could probably get by on that.
The other article tagged on to this was the Chicago Teachers Union. They're negotiating a new contract and making $50 billion in demands. And to put that number in context, in 2023, Illinois state budget was $50 billion.
So the Chicago teachers.
Chicago Teachers Union for the
Chicago,
win.
Chicago, just know? Chicago, wants a budget as big as the entire state.
Correct.
Budget correct. For everything.
For everything. Yeah, yeah, I mean, if you're gonna go high, go up, you know, hey,
just
swing for the fences, man.
Exactly.
Swing for the fences.
Shoot for the moon. Allie Miller, hi everyone. I just got in. Glenn Giebert, aw, muffin. Some adults have to go to work too. Glenn, you could do your job from home, I bet, if you really wanted to try. And Donald Schwartz, fire them all. I completely fucking agree.
Crashing Boeing plane of the week. Okay, I'm going to show, I'll talk while this video shows. It's just them spraying it down here. But Turkish Transport and Infrastructure Minister Abdulkar Uğurgoğlu reported that a FedEx Airlines cargo plane was forced to land in Turkey without its front landing gear on Wednesday. The one you're looking at is FedEx Express Flight 6268, operated, on, of course, on a Boeing 767. And then the New York Post said a second whistleblower has died, which we talked about last week, under mysterious circumstances, just 2 months after another one allegedly shot himself in the head. And the attorneys,
but now there's
both 10 men,
more.
Yes, the attorneys for both men hope their deaths don't scare away at least 10 more whistleblowers who want the company to clean up its act. So there you go. Like,
I love how in that article they talk about the surviving whistleblowers. Because that's such an important distinction with Boeing. It's not just whistleblowers. You're like, okay, well, we've got whistleblowers, and then we've got surviving whistleblowers. And at what point do we maybe want to start looking at this a little bit more fucking closely?
Yeah, this is, you know, when people say they're not flying anymore because they're nervous about it, I used to be like, eh. Now it's just becoming a regular occurrence on this show where we see, well, exactly this, right? The landing gear wouldn't come out. Then there was a door ripped off before and as it took off. Like, so, I mean, this is just getting a little bit insane.
Like, you know, when you're car shopping and you're like, okay, well, I could get a sunroof if I wanted to, or I could get the Bose sound system, or, you know, I could get, you know, a heavier transmission in the truck or something like that. When you're buying a plane, pay the extra few $100 and get the front landing gear. Okay.
We might need that. We might need the front landing gear. Yes.
All right. And here's Allie again. Well, why are they even home? Lots of work through everything, and these people are working from it shouldn't be. In some ways, union is good, although I don't know how, to me, union is useless, just like government. They are two sides of the same coin. Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. Like, I had to talk to Revenue Canada last year. And so I call in and I get somebody in Newfoundland. You can tell by the accent. And I don't know what the hell they were doing, but they were around something really loud. And I was like, I'm sorry, I'm just having trouble hearing you. And she was like, it's okay, just give me a minute. I got to go back inside. And then she gets inside, and then we have a normal conversation. So here's the thing, is like, when they're working from home, they're not actually working. Like, one of their arguments about this whole thing facilitating a work-life balance. Well, no. If you're using 3 days of the week of your job to have more life on your own, you're not actually working, and you probably shouldn't get fucking paid for it.
If you want to hear more of Two's thoughts on unions, just tune into the show every week. Two's next headline, Argentinian win of the week. Man, we've been talking a lot about them, and let's just do this. Okay, here, I'm going to pull it up. Bang. Elon Musk says, I recommend investing in Argentina. I wonder why. Well, I'll tell you why. Milei announced that the country had recorded its first quarterly budget surplus since 2008, a modest 0.2 PC of the GDP, but still an astonishing achievement in such a short space of time, especially for a country that has run deficits for 113 of the last 123 years. According to Bloomberg data in the blue chip swap market, the peso was the best performing currency in the world in the first quarter of this year. Anything else need to be said, Tuz?
Yeah, actually, we got a little bit here. This is the headline. Milei is already proving the left-wing economic establishment is wrong. I just, you're starting to see more and more of these articles, and I don't know, maybe people are going to get sick of them, but I'm not yet. And so I think we should still be talking about them whenever they happen.
Covindication of the week. I tell you, this one elicited a lot of explicitives from my mouth. I had to contain myself because
a lot of really what?
Explicitives.
Expletives?
Sure, if that's the way to say it. This is Cuomo, okay? Chris Cuomo says he's now taking ivermectin daily. He was on Patrick Beck David. The thing that stuck out to me, he said, everyone will say Joe Rogan was right. And then he's like, no, Joe Rogan was saying, and then he kind of catches himself. He's like, well, yeah, he was right. Like, this guy, why does Patrick Bet David not shut him down immediately and say, it's because of you assholes on the television that all of this, you want to be a journalist now? Great. You want to take ivermectin now? Great. How about you go, I got it wrong, and I was, and jump on the grenade instead of being like, Joe Rogan was kind of right. Well, you know, he wasn't, they're going to say, well, he's kind of right. Like, Screw this guy.
Let's just go into the Wayback Machine here for a minute.
People who are injecting drugs
both
for animals.
These guys.
And horse.
And people telling them to.
Oh, my God.
What person? You know, you talk about, like, you know, cancel culture and who to shame. Ivermectin, a dewormer, really?
They are shaming themselves. No one has to shame them. They're shaming themselves.
No, they need to be shamed. Yeah.
They need to be shamed. Yeah. This guy. Yeah, but now I'm taking ivermectin, and it's not a big deal. This guy. Like, don't deserve to be on anything, man.
No,
get out
he
of here.
Doesn't. And here's the thing is, so since he got fired from CNN, now he's trying to start his own news thing.
Yeah,
like
totally,
Don Lemon did. It's interesting though. Like Don Lemon, so Tucker Carlson does his, and it's a raging success. But he basically just keeps doing what he was doing before. Maybe slightly more interesting, I would say, not watered down by a big organization. You got Don Lemon, who says, "I'm just going to do the exact same shit I did on CNN." And as much as it sucked, props to him for staying true to himself. Chris Cuomo is trying to just say, "Well, you know what? Don Lemon tanked at this. If I'm going to start my own, maybe I try and just ease into sidling up to these people that have been telling the truth for literally fucking years." And the problem is that there's been no contrition. There's no reconciliation. There's no apology. He just kind of switched jerseys and showed up on the other side of the stands and was like, "Hey guys, how you been?"
I want to make sure I make this point clear. I'm not saying you could get it wrong and not admit getting it wrong and come join us all. He doesn't do that. It's like he skips over the part where he was completely wrong and was like, "We should shame everyone." And
how
says,
many people died because of that video clip? I mean, not many, because COVID wasn't really that lethal, but the point stands.
It just frustrates me beyond belief to watch that. My anger, many things don't get me that angry too. That video right there, him talking to Patrick Bet-David saying, "Oh yeah, now I take ivermectin and we got it wrong. We were given bad information," and on and on and on it went. Screw
this
that guy.
Motherfucker,
screw that guy.
The bad information.
100%. I can't say anything else about it. I just end the show here because I just want to punch them through the screen. That's what I want to do. Democrats thinking black people are stupid of the week. Governor of New York. I'm choking on my own rage here, folks. Governor of New York, Kathy Hochul.
I mean, it's better than what you usually choke on.
Well, speaking on stage at California Forum about her desire to have more of a diverse workforce in artificial intelligence, she's tempted to highlight the disadvantage. Been standing founded presumption about them. Quoted, "Right now we have, you know, young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is." And
come on,
followed this.
Right, they're growing up in the Bronx in what century? Who the hell in North America doesn't know what a computer is? How fucking racist are you that you just assume that, well, black people don't know what computers are? Black people can't get photo ID. Black people can't get this.
Democrats being Democrats is what the headline should read. Transgender idiocy of the week. The Boy Scouts of America is going to change its name to Scouting America, marking the first change in 114 years. And of course, the change is made because they want to be more inclusive. There you go.
Yeah. Although I will say, in very limited defense, the video did talk about how Buddy was saying that their membership is at an all-time
decline.
Low. They're basically on their last legs and trying to throw whatever they can at the wall to see what sticks. So, you know, they're flailing and sinking. So, yeah, I get it. But on the other hand, you're like, is this really the best thing you guys could come up with?
So, China's lying to us of the week. A zoo in China. Here, I'll bring up the picture. There you go, folks. Okay. A zoo in China sparked all-out pandemonium after they dressed dogs as pandas because they didn't have the genuine artifact. There you go. There's a dog.
Trimmed its face up. They took this dog from northern China, this particular breed of dog from northern China. They trimmed its face up.
A chow chow. It's a chow chow. That's what the dog is.
I think all dogs in China are chow chow, Sean.
Well played.
All right. And so anyway, this one, before ending up on the grill, got painted black and white. It basically got black and white face. And they just figured nobody would notice at the zoo. Like, I could see maybe if you went to something like Chile or something like that, where you're just a world away from pandas, but every panda in the world lives in China or is property of the Chinese government. These are like the experts. This is like gluing a couple broomsticks on top of a horse and saying it's an elk in Canada. You're not going to fool anybody. But they thought that they could get away with it.
I'm glad we have at least some happy humor in the in this week. Yeah, he's cute. Allie, chow.
His cute chow is normally brown. I don't know. Maybe I'm not familiar with chow chows.
Diversity hiring implosion of the week. ABC News president Kim Godwin stepped down Sunday night following an investigation in her management of her network. The overseer of the network, Deborah O'Connell, opened a corporate investigation into Goodwin and other senior executives after the growing frustration among staffers, vacant top positions, and the drop in ratings at its prominent program, Good Morning America. Several people allege Godwin dedicated more time to her profile than creating success in the new division, and that her mismanagement shocked people.
Yeah, so isn't it funny how this seems to be happening quite a bit when your only criteria for putting somebody in an important position is their color? They're not really up to the task. Also, this lends itself to, you know how people like the NDP every year, they like to, on January 4th or 5th or whatever, they'll say, you know, as of 10 o'clock this morning, the CEO will have made more money at an average company in Canada than the janitor will the whole year long, right? It's because you need a very specific and highly tailored and highly honed skill set to run a company. You can't just, like, no offense to any custodial people, but a little bit of training and you can have literally anybody do that job, right? Now, some people are going to do it better. Some people are going to work harder, but the basics of it are fairly simple. The basics of running a multi-billion dollar news agency, probably not that easy. And so, yeah, diversity is our strength.
Dumb person being mauled by a bear of the week.
Okay, say it. Okay, you can't just laugh and trail off. You got to actually read. I go to the trouble of writing the headlines. You got to actually read them, Sean.
Dumb person being mauled by bear of the week. There you go. There's the bear coming. A Scottish holidaymaker has had a lucky escape after being bitten by a brown bear in Romania's Carpathian Mountains. The mummy bear clamped his jaw around Maura Gallagher's hand while she tried to take a photo with the window of her car. She was traveling down in the road. The 72-year-old from West Lothian has put her arm survival down to the fact she was wearing a thick, padded Marks and Spencer's jacket. If I scroll down, you can actually see the second picture she took, which is the bear literally almost in the vehicle.
Yeah, and I don't want to sound like a jerk, but you're probably kind of a vapid asshole if you think the brand name of your jacket is important enough to put in this article about how stupid you are.
Well, I mean, you know, at some point you should have been like, holy crap, this bear's getting a little close. Yes,
I get the fact that Scottish people aren't really the kind of people you want to fuck with, but there's Scottish people and then there's bears.
Making energy sources out of thin glass and leaving them outside in the elements ends exactly how you think it will of the week. The world's largest floating solar plant in Madhya Pradesh's Khandwa district has been damaged by a storm. The plant, built on the backwaters of Omkarshwar's dam, was ready for launch, but however, was hit by a summer storm on Tuesday. And you can imagine the fallout.
Yeah, so it got hit by a storm, and it's got more broken glass than the George Floyd riots. And believe it or not, once you smash up a solar panel, it doesn't really work very well anymore. And so we keep making these tiny little fragile fucking things and putting them out in the middle of nowhere and just assuming everything's going to be fine with them. And then it isn't. So maybe we shouldn't base our entire electrical grid on hoping that weather never happens.
Guy on bail kills somebody of the week. Gandeep Singh, who was allegedly armed with a knife at the time of police pursuit, was released on $2,000 bail this winter by a justice of the peace in Hamilton Court and was set to return with Milton Court on May 14th. While he was killed in a head-on crash that also claimed three innocent lives as he fled from cops speeding the wrong way on Highway 401 in Whitby, allegedly after attempting an LCBO robbery. And, of course, he was facing charges for two other liquor store robberies. Monday's attempt heist in Bowmanville and crashing into a Nissan Sentra, killing a baby and his grandparents, too.
Yeah, who were visiting from India.
India. Now,
they let him out on bail. And he ends up in a high-speed chase on the wrong side of the freeway and kills somebody head-on. Maybe we just don't let these people out on jail. Also, side note, this guy's name, Gagandeep Singh, kind of sounds like us describing the NDP guy.
You know, before we move on to Happy News of the Week, I just wanted to say, you know, with the boys still in remand 800 days later, and then we read the stories where they just let bad people out.
Anybody
over
out.
And over again.
Except them.
Except them. Okay, happy news of the week. The Trans Mountain Pipeline expansion is now complete. And for the first time, global customers can have access to large volumes of Canadian oil with the benefits of flowing to Canada's economy and Indigenous communities. Quoted, we're going to be moving into a market where buyers are going to be competing to buy Canadian oil. The long-awaited expansion nearly triples the capacity on the Trans Mountain Pipeline, Trans Mountain System from Edmonton to West Kelowna to approximately 800 West Coast, man. System from Edmonton to the West Coast. I can't speak today. To approximately 890,000 barrels per day. In recent years, the price for the oil benchmark in Western Canada Select, WCS, has hovered around $18 and $20 lower than West Texas Intermediate. To reflect these hurdles, and that spread should now should narrow as a result of the Trans Mountain completion. I thought that was cool news.
It is great news. The differential, I mean, we hear about the West Texas Intermediate price differential or the oil differential. Basically what that means is that because we have very limited port access in Canada for our oil, most of our exports go to the States. So if you're there and you're trying to run a business or a country or something like that, and someone tries to sell to you and they say, okay, well, the going price for this stuff is $100. And you say, well, yeah, I guess the going price for it is $100, but you live in this tiny little valley and I'm at the only way out of it. So I'm the only person you can sell to. I'll give you $80. And you say, well, no, the price is $100. And you say, well, no. I don't think you understood me correctly. I'm the only person that you can sell to. So you can either keep it or you can give me $80. And that's basically the brass tax version of the differential. And it's why when we sell to the States, it's at a discount. Now, this is going to alleviate that because, hey, there's a world shortage of this stuff. And now we can sell to a lot more places that aren't the United States. And so, one, it's going to get us market price when it sells at the BC port. But two is that all our attempts to sell things to the States, they're going to say, well, we'll give you $80. And you say, okay, cool. Yeah, just keep your money. We're gonna sell over here. And then say, whoa, wait. Okay, what if we give you a 90 or 95 or maybe even 100? So it's going to have not only the day one impact of opening it up to more markets, but it's going to have the ripple effect of decreasing the differential in terms of U.S. sales, exports.
Okay. 106 in the books, twos. Anything community notes wise? We had Mike Holmes on talking about the Injection of Truth Town Hall, June 17th. If you're watching the live stream, it's in our comments. But essentially, an injectionoftruth.ca. You can get tickets. $29 is what it sits at. There's a whole bunch of information there as well for streaming, all that good stuff. June 22nd. Aaron Goodvin and Garrett Gregory are going to be in Marwain. That's a concert coming up. May 11th, Walk and Run fundraiser. Geez, that's tomorrow. So Mackenzie Bloom, she's been a guest of the podcast. If you're interested in that, all proceeds going to the MS Society. We've been talking a lot about this mash spiel. Trying to get people to, you know, tell us, are they interested in being a part of it? Twos, what are your thoughts on the mash spiel?
Well, we've gotten a lot of love from it, or at least I have. There's a lot of people who are like, yeah, I would definitely love to come to something like that. The question becomes, where do you have it?
So Kalmar has been the place that's been talked about. It looks like we could pull it off there. Tyler, and I'm going to butcher your last name, Wazikko. Ah, dang it. I don't even know why I bring it up. But anyways, Kalmar has a beautiful curling rink. Mm-hmm. It's located near Edmonton. Obviously not in Edmonton, but yeah, you can look it up on the map. It's close to there.
It's and a little ways away from Leduc, though.
They're looking to, they would love to have it there. So you go, and they sit on the, Tyler sits on the board of the arena. We got a Saturday in November is what we're looking at. Is there any interest from the audience? Is there any interest from you? What we want to find out, I think.
Yeah,
is
absolutely. I will totally be there.
Not you. I'm saying you, the watcher, the listener. If there's interest,
specific,
shoot me a text, because we want to find out, you know, like a team of four, or maybe we could get a few people, like, I don't know, some several different people who've been on the show to come, and maybe there's a way to have a team of three with a celebrity. I'll put that in air quotes, as long as I get as long as I have a head to head with twos and we win.
Well, I was just going to say, like, the thing about it is I don't want to be on the same team as you.
No. We're having team Newman versus team twos, and team Newman will win. That's dude, and we're going to put a bet on it.
What are you going to do? Sandra Schmirler on a Ouija board to help you out?
I'm literally going to get the best curlers in Alberta to come play on my team, and then we're going to wipe you. That's the plan. Anyways, if you're interested in Mashbill, November, Kalmar, or, I mean, if you got a couple other ideas, I'm always open to different ideas. Yeah. Tyler has been pushing hard for there. It sounds like it could be the place. Mm-hmm. If that's of interest, we're trying to figure out if this Mashbill can have a little bit of, can catch a little bit of a wind in the sail and put something on that would be a lot of fun.
We've had some interest in sponsorships. We've had, there's a lot of, hey, let's make this happen. But the question now comes down to how many people would actually want to show up to it. And if it's just outside of Edmonton, as much as I would hate to have more than just like one or two Oilers fans there, it's something maybe we could live with a little bit.
Speaking of Oilers, game two, let's go.
Yeah. Let's go. Real quick. Let's hear all about game one, Sean.
Mashup 106, folks.
Oilers suck.
I mean, let's be clear. The first game, not too happy about it. We talked about it on the Brothers Roundtable. They got to be better. They will be better. Anyways, folks, Mashup 106 in the books. We look forward to being with you next week again. We'll catch up to you on 107 next Friday, twos. Thanks for hopping aboard, everyone, and have a great rest of your week.
Weekend. Here, real quick, Leanne Taylor, who are the Flames playing again? I thought we blocked her.
They're playing each other on the links, probably somewhere down in Arizona, you know?
Well,
twos, I'm out of here. Folks, have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks.